Thank you all for your attention. Mike Holly, I'm a postdoc with the USDA and State College. Today I'm going to be looking at the environmental impact of dairy production trends, the different farming strategies within dairy, and recommendations for abatement. So it's been well documented that, you know, dairy farms, the number is decreasing and the U.S. herd size is growing. But during the same period, we have a rise in alternative farming strategies, such as organic, as we can see from 1992 to 2011. So traditionally in the United States, dairies were mostly semi-confinement. There also were some Amish farms, which are known for making some pretty nice pastries, but also their horse-driven implements. So then over the years, we have a rise of the confinement all year, and in the 90s there was a resurgence in getting some more grass into our dairy farming system. So we have the management intensive rotational grazing, where a majority of the forage is from grass, and then recently we have the rise of the organic dairy. So the question is what's the impact on productivity in the environment? It's been shown in the past that organic Amish and MRIG farms produce less milk than conventional farms. This is due primarily to the use of forage and the conversion of that feed into milk production. But with these farm strategies ranging from confinement to grazing to organic, we have different levels of manure management, we have different storages of feed, we have different ways that we apply manure. So we're trying to really look at the variability in those practices and determine, you know, the impacts to the environment. So my initial analysis is going to look at Pennsylvania. I thought, well, since I'm in Pennsylvania, this is a good start, but also its average herd size is lower, and it has been shown that the small herd size, there's more a preference for adopting these alternative strategies. And Pennsylvania is also a large producer of milk, and it has a large number of dairy farms. So to complete this study, I think I'm one of the only studies to have done this, but I actually use the ARM survey data, which is put on by the ERS. This sampled over 1,000 dairy farms in the United States and over 132 in Pennsylvania. So I define these farms as the five categories as confinement with no grazing, semi-confinement with grazing and no rotation of cattle, organic production of certified organic milk, MRIG with a large percentage of forage coming from paid pastures, and the Amish dairies as no documented electrical use in the survey. I then used the survey data to create average farm strategies to input into the integrated farm system model, which is a mechanistic model that simulates all the inputs and outputs to farm systems on a day-to-day basis. So to looking at just the distribution from the data in 2010, we can see that the majority of the herd in Pennsylvania was confinement, followed by semi-confinement. Organic and management intensive rotation grazing are a much smaller percentage, but Amish has another chunk of the PA dairy herd. And then on the right, we can see our economics. The green bar is net income, the blue is the operating expenses, and the yellow bar is the annual labor. So we can see that the confinement generated the highest profit margins, followed by the organic, due primarily to the higher price of organic milk. But then semi-confinement had lower profit management profitability than these two, and this kind of explains the rise of organic and MRIGs. Maybe producers are being convinced to try and, not MRIG, but organic, because producers are trying to capture some of that extra income in milk. And then organic had the highest estimated annual labor requirement. Moving on to phosphorus, we can see that this is one of the main points, is that milk and meat only 34 to 46 of phosphorus imported in feed was exported in milk and meat. So the more feed purchased and the lower crop use of phosphorus, lower P use efficiency. So as the soil P build up and the imported feed and bedding went up, we had, you know, a lower phosphorus use efficiency. So the lower the amount of imported feed and bedding, we can see that we had a higher phosphorus use efficiency and a lower amount of soil P buildup. So what does this mean? So moving on to abatement, only 27 to 29% of phosphorus applied was used by crops. So farms that are importing a lot of feed and bedding, there's a lot of opportunity to kind of use solid liquid separation or phosphorus removal from these manures and then export them to kind of increase this phosphorus use efficiency. The other basic thing to increase phosphorus use efficiency is just to decrease the amount of imported feed and bedding. So the phosphorus losses, we can see that with increased perennial cover, such as the organic and the rotational grazing, we have lower phosphorus runoff. So confinement, you know, they use a lot of row crops for their corn silage, so they had some of the highest losses of phosphorus runoff. And organic, they used a lot of increased tillage because they don't use herbicides, so they also had some increased phosphorus runoff. So for the confinement, there's obviously opportunity to increase the perennial cover through cover crops, and we can also reduce some of this runoff that has left the row crops at using these edge of field buffer strips at the edge of the field, and then for our management. So moving on to farm gate nitrogen use, we can see that the amount of nitrogen exported with milk and meat was lower than phosphorus. Only 15 to 20% of imported N was exported with milk and meat. The increased feed purchase and environmental losses resulted in decreased nitrogen recycled. So different from phosphorus is these environmental losses are a huge concern to nitrogen use efficiency. As we can see, the environmental losses are shown on the graph, and phosphorus, they were so small they weren't even on the graph barely. So with nitrogen, you know, we need to reduce nitrogen throughout the entire farm system, from housing to manure storage to application. So these environmental nitrogen losses, you know, they change between farms, and then it's slippery. With the grazing, you know, we have more denitrification. The ones with manure storage, we have more ammonia volatilized. So with this, you know, we can recommend strategies that incorporate the manure storage covers, denitrification inhibitors, and more cover crops to kind of reduce that nitrogen leaching. Finally, we have greenhouse gas emissions. Greenhouse gas emissions on this unit per kilogram fat protein corrected milk. Obviously, the ones that are using concentrate are going to be producing more milk per cow, and they're going to have lower greenhouse gas emissions from their farming operations and the grazing. But reducing these emissions once they're emitted is going to be difficult, as we can see nitrous oxide is higher for the grazers, and then methane is more important for the confinement strategies, and although animal emissions is by and large the largest contributing portion. So in conclusion, confinement and organic had some of the highest profit margins. Phosphorus use efficiencies increased with greater crop production. More concentrated phosphorus in export, or decrease herd stocking densities to increase these phosphorus use efficiencies. And then phosphorus runoff was increased for perennial cover. So we should, you know, incorporate more cover crops, buffer strips, and for our nutrient stewardship. Environmental losses were the main nitrogen export, unlike phosphorus, and these are really important to increasing the nitrogen use efficiencies of these farms. And then productivity impacts greenhouse gas emissions. So the more milk a cow is producing from a concentrated diet, the less greenhouse gas emissions from that unit. And then, you know, I think there's a strong potential for using the ARMS data set to kind of understanding the variability and linking that survey data to models so we can kind of see the variability throughout the country. And I'll be doing that in the future to try and look at the environmental and profitability throughout the entire U.S. With that, I would like to thank you for your time and attendance and open it up for any quick questions. Yep, in the back. Yeah, so at IFSM we do take an account biogenic, but it's only for a year simulation. IFSM resets after 1 year, so it is very limited in that regard. Yep.
I was surprised to see high inputs or high imports of, I guess, feed and bedding in the management intensive rotational grazing that was driving up feed imports.
Right.
What in those type of dairy production systems would be imported?
So yeah, it's the concentrates during the winter, trying to supplement some of that feed. Obviously, you know, grazing there would be close to 7 months in Pennsylvania, so it's not year-round grazing so much, so there is some concentrates being imported.
Other questions? If not, we'll move on.
All right, thank you.